Oil analysts look for a bottom of the oil market, and all they see is one dark void. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. A New York Senator Charles Schumer is wondering loudly why airfares in America seem to be going up, even as a key raw material for airlines is going down sharply. Aviation fuel is made from crude oil, which was $102 a barrel in June, yet is at $58 today, a drop of 43% in just 6 months. Senator Schumer wants the Departments of Justice and Transportation to look into this. Airlines will point to heightened demand for tickets as the economy improves. Airline profits are forecast to rise 26% next year. And what about forecasts for the price of oil as we move forward? Seth Kleinman is the global head of energy strategy at Citigroup in London. Good morning, Mr. Kleinman.
Morning to you.
I was taking a look at a statement coming out of the United Arab Emirates suggesting that Middle Eastern oil producers are just going to let this oil price drop and fall where it may, I guess.
Yeah, that seems to be the attitude they're taking. I mean, although the reality is that statements by the UAE is just reflecting the fact that those guys are not the decision makers here. I mean, it's Saudi Arabia that's really in the decision seat, and they're the ones who are opting for this let the chips fall where they lay strategy.
This will be read with great interest if you are a North American shale oil producer in a place like North Dakota or Montana.
The reality is this market is significantly oversupplied with oil. There's three ways you can cure that oversupply. One is an OPEC stroke Saudi cut. That doesn't seem to be on the cards. Two is that something bad happens, that Libya falls over, that Iraqi production falls over, something like that. If neither of those two things happen, then it's going to have to be the third option, which is rationing production out of U.S. onshore shale. And that's why they're going to have some nervous holiday seasons coming up.
Now, I know this is your line of work, but generally, when I reach out to experts, there is a sense that you don't want to be in the business of firmly predicting how low this market will go. Is that decent advice?
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, A, because despite people's best attempts to come up with forecasts looking at supply and demand variables, markets tend to overshoot. Right here, when we're looking at what do prices need to do to ration U.S. shale, the reality is it's untested so far. We don't have much historical precedent to refer to. So it's a dangerous game.
Seth Kleinman, Global Head of Energy Strategy at Citigroup in London. Thank you.
Thank you.
Possible 2016 presidential contender Hillary Clinton is in New York today talking about the knowns and unknowns when it comes to women's issues. A group called Data 2X, run by the United Nations Foundation, is trying to tackle what's called a gender data gap. Marketplace's Adrian Hill looks at what that gap is and why it matters.
In this age of data everywhere, there's still a whole lot we're clueless about. Jody Hyman is the dean of the UCLA Fielding School of Public Health.
We don't know enough globally about how women and girls are doing versus how men and boys are doing. So if we want to address where there are problems, we have to measure it first.
We don't know about women's work, paid and unpaid. In some places around the world, vital records like marriage, divorce, and death are poorly tracked. At today's event, Data 2X will announce partnerships to help fill some of those data gaps. Myra Buvanich is a fellow at the UN Foundation.
Once you have good data on women, you can therefore begin to target policies and target interventions to women.
What isn't counted isn't valued, she says. This project aims to change that. I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
Hi, this is David Brancaccio, host of the Marketplace Morning Report. Marketplace has been on the air for 25 years, and that could not have happened without support from listeners like you. So please, if you can, make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today and help us keep our coverage relevant and compelling. And you should know that your gift, really in any amount, counts twice thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from the Candida Fund. Donate at marketplace.org by December 31st and help us reach our goal of at least 2,500 donors. Thanks for your support. Tis the season to see ads for fancy wristwatches that we can never afford. Back in the recession, luxury retail took a huge hit, but now spending by wealthy people is back with a vengeance, buoyed by rising stock prices and incomes at the top. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
Maybe you've seen this satire of the rich go shopping on the Colbert Report.
This is Colbert Platinum.
Sort of a fake buying guide for the top fraction of 1%ers, except the vendors are real.
A company called Calvin Jewelry has created a $50,000 diamond-encrusted pacifier.
The jeweler's website offers a 14-carat gold-trimmed pacifier at only $450. Patty Edwards tracks the luxury sector at U.S. Bank Wealth Management.
They're selling $400 and $500 purses or very expensive watches, even high-end lingerie, because people personally feel a little bit more flush.
Management consultants Bain & Company predict a 6% rise in the U.S. luxury market this year. David Schick is an analyst at Stifel Nicolaus.
At the higher end of the income spectrum, we have financial assets helping the consumer.
Though Schick's quick to point out, middle-income Americans are doing better too, with paychecks up and gas prices down. Folks who are feeling more comfortable might splurge on a Kate Spade handbag or Coach wallet. Here's consumer psychologist Kit Yarrow.
It's also middle-class and upper-middle-class consumers that are stretching, carrying along high-end retailers.
Yarrow goes on these shop-alongs with American consumers.
Now, you have to keep in mind, I didn't interview anybody that has a private jet.
She did talk to folks in the several hundred thousand a year income bracket. They've got money to spend, but still don't want to flaunt it.
They understand that there's sort of a anti-wealth sentiment. They don't want to be conspicuous in their consumption. They don't want other people to feel separated from them.
Conspicuous consumption seems okay with the foreign rich, though, which is why Chinese, Middle Eastern, and other wealthy tourists are still major drivers of U.S. luxury sales. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And last week, we reported on the U.S. newspapers that figured it was A-OK to go on a parsing and delving spree using emails that hackers stole from the computers of Sony Entertainment. The Wall Street Journal, for instance, explained it was undertaking, quote, corporate anthropology, even though what was revealed about a senior Sony movie executive was pretty mundane. Well, Sony's had enough. It's reportedly hired ferocious lawyer David Boies to send out letters to various news organizations, ordering them to stop reporting with the stolen emails and to destroy what they have. It's not clear if Sony has a legal leg to stand on or not. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.